Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto. Third canto, ninth chapter, text number 11.
Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrut saroja. Asse shutekshita patho nanu natha pumsam. Yadyadhyat urgaya vibhavayanti. Tattat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrut saroja. Asse shrutekshita patho nanu natha pumsam. Yadyadhyat urgaya vibhavayanti. Tattat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrut saroja. Asse shrutekshita patho nanu natha pumsam. Yadyadhyat urgaya vibhavayanti. Tattat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya.
Tvam, unto you. Bhakti yoga, in devotional service. Paribhavita, being 100% engaged. Hrit, of the heart. Saroje, on the lotus. Asse, you reside. Shruta ikshita, seen through the ear. Pataha, the path. Nanu, now. Natha, O my Lord. Pumsam, of the devotees. Yatyat, whichever. Dhiya, by meditating. Te, you are. Urugaya, O multi-glorious. Vibhavayati, vibhavayanti. Vibhavayanti, they specifically think of. Tat-tat, the very same. Vapuhu, the transcendental form. Pranayase, do you manifest. Sadanagrahaya, to show your causeless mercy. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Shall Prabhupada ki? O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Purport. The statement here that the Lord manifests himself before the devotees in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee, so much so that he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. This demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Yeya tamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. We should note, however, that the Lord is never the order supplier of the devotee. Here in this verse it is particularly mentioned, Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita. This indicates the efficiency achieved through execution of matured devotional service or prema, love of Godhead. This state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of development from faith to love. On faith, one associates with bona fide devotees, and by such association one can become engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation and the execution of the primary devotional duties prescribed in the revealed scriptures. This is clearly indicated herein by the word Shruta Ikshita. The Shruta Ikshita path is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. By this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, and thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord as described in the Vedas. This attachment of the devotee to a particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. Each and every living entity is originally attracted to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord eternally. This particular attachment is invoked by practice of regulative devotional service to the Lord, and thus the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord, exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Swarupa Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee. In the eternal form, the pure devotee desires, and thus the Lord does not part from the devotee, as confirmed in the previous verse. The Lord, however, does not disclose himself to a casual or inauthentic worshipper to be exploited. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrataha. Rather, by yogamaya, the Lord remains concealed to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving their sense gratification. The Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees who worship the demigods in charge of the universal affairs. The conclusion is that the Lord cannot become the order supplier of a pseudo-devotee, but he is always prepared to respond to the desires of a pure, unconditional devotee who is free from all tinges of material infection. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhuvanmelitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrita saroja. So paribhavita means 100% engaged in devotional service. For such devotees who have understood you through Shruta Ikshita Pato. Word Iksha is actually to see. Shruta is to hear. So this is actually the bona fide method of seeing. First we have to hear and then we have to see. And not want to see without having heard from the bona fide sources. Like many people demand, can you show me God? So we have to ask them, what do you know about God? To see God, even if God comes in front of you, will you know who He is? So that is why Shruta Ikshita Patha, he says. Patha is the path. Shruta Ikshita Patho, he says. So hearing from bona fide sources is actually the only way to know the truth. If you find a glass of green liquid kept on a table, it appears to you like a lemon juice or something, and you have returned on a hot sunny day, immediately you feel like drinking it when you enter into your chemistry laboratory. So only you are a little doubtful. Is it surely lemon juice? There may be even a lemon piece lying nearby. So can you assume that because there is a half-cut lemon lying nearby, there is a glass of transparent liquid? So in what way will you come to know, is it lemon juice or something else? You have to ask the person who has kept it there. Then you ask the laboratory boy, hey, what is this liquid? He may say, I am doing some chemical experiment. And it is some chemistry. He says some kind of chemical. And you may ask, what about this half-cut lemon? Oh, that juice I have already drunk and washed my glass. Thank God. Imagine if you drank this glass of chemical, put it in your system, your stomach will burn and explode. Isn't it? So, that is why we have to hear from authority. Hear from bona fide sources to know the truth. It is not by seeing. Somebody may say, I am seeing the liquid. I am seeing the half-cut lemon nearby. Based on this, I can speculate that this half-cut lemon, from this the juice must be produced. So, even with such evidence, one cannot ascertain the truth. That's why speculation is no good. Speculation can lead us nowhere. So we have to hear from Shuta Ikshetapata, he says. The bona fide method is to hear from proper sources. So here, Prabhupada is saying from two different angles in the purport. One point he is saying is, when a devotee is performing devotional service, the Lord becomes purchased by the sincerity of the devotee's devotion. And he appears in the lotus heart of the devotee in a form in which the devotee wants to see him. You see, Lord's feet are called the lotus feet. So the devotee's heart also has to become like a lotus for the lotus feet of the Lord to stand on. Otherwise, the Lord will not manifest himself. We cannot have a stone heart and expect the Lord to come and stand with his lotus feet. Isn't it? You have to prepare the heart to become like a lotus for the Lord to come and be seated there. And what is speciality of lotus? The lotus is living in the midst of kichad. Such a dirty pool of muddy waters. But that remains very clean, untouched. That is why Lord Krishna uses it in the Bhagavad Gita, this example, Padma Patram Ivambasa. Like a water kept on a lotus leaf is untouched. In the same manner, the lotus also is living in the middle of mud. In the same manner, a devotee may be surrounded by impurity of the material world, but one remains pure, untouched by the heart of the devotee. May be surrounded by so much impurity of the material world, but it is untouched by it. It is pure. So Lord agrees to appear in that heart of a devotee. There is a verse which says, Karna pravishta randrena swanam bhava saroruham dhunoti shamalam krishna shalilasya yatasharat. Similar thing that he says, Karana Pravishta Randrena. When the Vedic sound vibration is heard with Shraddha, it enters the ears, it enters the heart, cleanses the heart, and he says, Swanam Bhava Saroruham. According to one's devotional disposition towards the Lord manifests in a form suitable to the devotee's devotion. For example, if somebody is Aishwarya Bhakta, Lord appears in that Aishwarya form, which is very pleasing to the devotee. Somebody is a Madhurya Bhakta, then Lord appears in that Madhurya form. So Lord manifests himself to the devotee like the lotus, in the lotus heart of the devotee. So one point Prabhupada makes here is, Lord manifests in a form that the devotee wants to see. Like we say, Bahir Narasimha Hridaye Narasimha. So somebody was asking, in the Hridaye, is Narasimha sitting or Paramatma sitting? Is there a 400 form of Vishnu or a lion sitting inside? I have only heard lion inside the pillar, not inside my heart. Isn't it manifested from the pillar? Why it is said Hridaya Narasimha? That is because Prahlad was deeply touched by this particular form of the Lord who came to protect him as Lord Narasimha. So Lord manifests himself as Narasimha for him. Lord appeared as Narasimha for him. And one who prays to Narasimha and develops deep devotion to Narasimha, the Lord manifests himself as Narasimha for him. So that is one point he makes. This is a very vital point. That's why I got many quotes from Prabhupada to explain this point. So we will try to explain this first point. And then he says, goes on to say that, you know, although Lord may manifest himself in a particular form, it's not that he is an order supplier. Anybody can, out of his material motivations, demand that God appear in this form and give me this or give me that. If somebody makes a material demand with material consciousness, Lord will never manifest. But it takes one pure devotion service. And that is a price one has to pay to attract the Lord. You might have heard the story. This is actually a very traditional and very ancient Puranic story which is well known in India. You might have studied in even in your school days. So when I came to ISKCON, I heard this in ISKCON also. How a boy was sent by his mother. A boy had no father actually. He only had his mother. She sent him to a Gurukula. And later on, when he finished Gurukula up to a certain level, the teacher asked him to go to the neighborhood village for studying, to join another Gurukul. So he went and joined there. But then every day his fear was that he has to cross the forest and go to that village, study and come. So he used to be fearful to go through the thick jungle. One day he came and cried to his mother that I won't go to school anymore. Because while I am walking in the jungle, I hear the sounds of roaring lions, sometimes elephants. Sometimes I see snakes crossing the road. I am very afraid. So I cannot go to school. Mother said, what is the need of any fear in this world? When you have your elder brother, who is Gopal, he is always there to protect you. Why do you fear? He said, I never knew I had a brother. You never told me. Who is it? Then she described the form of his elder brother, how he looks like. You know, he is the most beautiful and very graceful, and you know, his eyes are like lotus petals. He wears a peacock feather. He plays on a flute. Anyone who is in his company will lose all fear. Will become most happy. And when he heard this, he became very peaceful and jolly. Then he started going to school again. And she said, whenever you have trouble, you just call him, he will come. So, one day when he was passing by in the jungle, suddenly he saw a big snake coming his way. Then he called out for Gopal. Immediately Lord Krishna appeared. And then he escorted him through the jungle up to the end of the jungle. In this way, when he saw his elder brother face to face, eyes to eyes, he became very satisfied. He said, I am so happy to have you. Now my fear is gone now from my heart. So in this way, many times he had called Krishna and Krishna would come and he would walk with him. And when he was walking with Krishna, he forgot the whole world around. He was very happy. So one day, there was Guru Purnima day. In India, people celebrate Guru Purnima by worshipping the Guru with gifts and varieties of preparations and all. So all the boys brought different things. But then, this boy thought, I will ask my mother for something. Then he went home. His mother was sick. But the next day morning, her fever continued. And he couldn't carry anything with him, with bare hands, empty hands. He was going through the jungle. So he just thought in his mind, how nice it will be if I could have some preparation to carry for my guru. Maybe I can ask Gopal, he thought. And the moment he thought like that, immediately Krishna appeared. You know, with a small vessel full of some preparation like parmana or something, some sweet rice. And Krishna gave him and said, please go and give this to your teacher. You also can carry this with you. So he carried it. All different students Some of them brought big fruits. Some of them got some preparations from their homes. So this boy came and gave to Guru the small pot of sweet rice, which was apparently the smallest one amongst all the offerings. So when Guru was trying to transfer it to one big vessel, the whole big vessel became full. And the Guru was wondering, how is it? Then he filled the second one, third one, fourth one. So Guru thought it's a miracle. He asked this boy, where did you bring this from? Who gave you this? And he told about Gopal, his elder brother. And the Guru was an impersonalist. He became suspicious. Really? The description you are giving sounds very interesting. You say that he plays on his flute, he has a peacock feather, he has blackish hair, and he has eyes like lotus petals. He wears a dazzling golden pitambar. All this description is not new to me. I've heard about it before. So I know about your brother. And he said, but I would like to see him. Do you really see him? He asked the boy. Boy said, yes, several times. My mother told me, if you call him, he will come. Yeah, calling is not very difficult. Everybody calls. But has he really come? He asked him. Yeah, he really came many times. That's how I became free from all fear. And the Guru said, okay, take me with you. Today only I am very eager to see whether your brother comes. So the boy went into the jungle and the teacher hid behind a bush. And peeping through the bush, he was watching. Boy called, Gopal, 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 several times. And Gopal didn't come at all. And there were tears in the eyes of the boy. He said, Gopal, what happened to you? You always used to come whenever I called you. Now my teacher is very eager to see you. Why didn't you come? And then there was Akashwani in the sky. He said, this boy's name was Munikumar. Hey, Munikumar, please do not embarrass me by calling me now to appear in front of you. I do not appear in front of those who are faithless. Currently you are not alone. You are accompanied by a faithless person. And I cannot give my darshan to people who have no faith in me. Only those who have 100% faith in me, only to them I give my darshan. And your mother is my pure devotee. Because you are son of a pure devotee, I consider the devotees of my devotees very dear to my heart. So because your mother always worships me with love and devotion, I am coming to offer you protection in the forest. But now you are embarrassing me by asking me to appear in front of a faithless impersonalist. I cannot appear now. Another time when you are in real danger, you call me, I will come. And then the Akashwani stopped. Out came the teacher from the bush. He burst into tears. He said, alas, what a great fool am I. Although I have studied Vedas, Puranas, Upanishads, Vedanta, everything, with all this knowledge, I didn't develop even an iota of faith in the personality of Godhead Krishna, which this small child has developed. So, hell with all my knowledge. He condemned himself. So, as the Prabhupada says, the Lord will not manifest himself in front of a pseudo-devotee, or somebody who is an impersonalist, or one who thinks that Krishna's form is material. Such kind of people Lord will never manifest. So, Lord will only manifest in front of a pure devotee who has complete faith. Suspicious people cannot get darshan of Krishna, he says. And for those who have faith, for them the Lord appears in a form in which they want to see. We will understand it more based on what Prabhupada says in other places. See, this is 3:28:30. Here he says, the Lord appears in the particular form loved by a particular type of devotee. There are millions of forms of the Lord, but they are one absolute. In Brahma Samhita, it is said, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. See, Advaitam means these are all one form, but manifested in different forms. The person is same, but is like double actor or triple actor. Like in movies we see, the same person acts in multiple roles. That's why When Advaita Acharya was preaching impersonalism in Shantipur, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he arrived there, he became very angry. When he was beating him up, at that time he said, "Oh, Nara," he said. So Nara is Narayana. So he said, "You called me. When I was lying in the ocean of milk peacefully, because you offered, you know, Ganges water and tulasi to the Shaligram Shila, and you called me loudly, I came. Now after I appeared in this world, you are speaking this bogus impersonalistic philosophy. Then why did you call me?" Like that he asked. So here in this you find Lord Chaitanya is saying that I was lying in the ocean of milk, which means he and Vishnu are non-different. That's called Advaitam. Advaitam means they are all, like for example, if you tell me something, now another manager in the temple may not be aware, unless I pass the message to him. Is it not true? Or if you tell TMC something, if they don't tell me, then I will not come to know. In Krishna's case, it's not like that. You tell Chaitanya Mahaprabhu something and Vishnu there in milk ocean will know it. And Krishna and Golakondavan, he will also know it. Because they all are one person only. It's one. See, this is a little difficult for us to comprehend. Right now you are sitting in the temple hall. No, you cannot be simultaneously at home also. Although your parents may desire you to be at home. Isn't it? You can't give one form to parents and one form in the temple. Isn't it? Of course, in very special cases, Lord's devotees may expand. Like Shukadev Goswami, one form went to forest and one form remained with Vedavyasa. It's extremely rare. The jiva can expand into nine forms, but all of them do the same activity. Like if you are brushing, all forms will brush. If you run, everything will run. But Krishna can have multiple forms, and different type of forms also. That is what that's called as Advaitam. And infallible forms. And they can do different activities, and he can be knowing about what's happening with one form, the other forms also know it. That's why he's saying Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim. All the different forms of the Lord are one, but some devotees want to see him in the form of Radha and Krishna. Others prefer to see him as Sita and Ramachandra. Others would see him as Lakshmi Narayana. And others want to see him as 400 Narayana, Vasudev. The Lord has innumerable forms and appears in a particular form as preferred by a particular type of devotee. The yogi is advised to meditate upon the forms that are approved by devotees. This is very important. We can only meditate on the form approved by devotees. A yogi cannot imagine a form for meditation. The so-called yogis who manufacture a circle or target are engaged in nonsense. Actually, a yogi must meditate upon the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that has been experienced by the Lord's pure devotees. Yogi means devotee. Yogis who are not actually pure devotees should follow in the footsteps of devotees. That's why that verse says, you see, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Vavarjuna Nirdvando Nitya Sattvasto Nir Yoga Kshema Atmavan. In this verse, first line says Nistraigunya, become Nistraigunya. Now who are Nistraigunya? The Dwadasha Mahajanas. They are Nistraigunya. In our stage, we are not Nistraigunya. We are not free from Trigunas. So what should we do? Nitya Sattvasto, he says. You establish yourself in goodness always. Then when you become completely purified, you will go to Nistraigunya stage. So either you be a Mahajan or become a follower of Mahajan. Don't be a Durjan. He says. That's why he's saying, either we become a perfected yogi, yoginam api sarvesha madgate antaratmana, shraddhavan bhajate yomam samayukpatamomataha, or we should become a follower of such a yogi. Be a Mahajan or be a follower of Mahajan. Like that he says here. So one cannot be a yogi meditating on some concentric circles or some target. That is simply nonsense, he says. That is the first point, he says. One may worship any one of these forms. Now in the first canto there is one verse. Yeah, here it comes. a proper sign. This verse is 3:20-25. Here the words Bhaktanam Anurupatma Darshanam means that the personality of Godhead manifests his multi forms according to the desires of the devotees, he says. You see? Bhaktanam Anurupatma Darshanam, he says. Then the last line here. Anurupa means in suitable forms, Atma Darshanam, who manifests himself for his devotees. And then Prabhupada explains what is the meaning of Lord manifesting himself according to desire of a devotee. He says, for example, Hanumanji, Vajrangaji wanted to see the form of the Lord as the personality of Godhead, Ramachandra. Whereas other Vaishnavas want to see the form of Radha Krishna. And still other devotees want to see the Lord in the form of Lakshmi Narayan. The Mayavadi philosophers think that although all these forms are assumed by the Lord just as the devotees desire to see him, actually he is impersonal. Like that they think, Mayavadis. From Brahma Samhita, however, we can understand that this is not so. For the Lord has multi-forms. It is said in the Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achyutam, Prabhupada quotes, the Lord does not appear before the devotee because of the devotee's imagination. Not that you imagine some form and say, oh Lord, now you appear in this form. He won't appear like that. And these forms are eternally there. And one has to learn about them by Shuta Ikshita. One should see them by hearing. And after having heard and after having meditated on a particular form which a devotee likes, then in that form Lord will manifest. Ramadi Murtashu Kala Niyamena Tishthan. Prabhupada quotes that. He exists in millions and millions of forms. There are 8.4 million species of living entities, but the incarnations of the Supreme Lord are innumerable. And then he goes on quoting, like the waves of the sea cannot be counted but appear and disappear continually. The incarnations and forms of the Lord are innumerable. A devotee is attached to a particular form and it is that form which he worships. We have just described the first appearance of the boar incarnation. And then Prabhupada says, there are innumerable universes and somewhere or other, the boar form is now existing. All the forms of the Lord are eternal. It is the devotee's inclination to worship a particular form. And he engages in devotional service to that form. In a verse in the Ramayana, Hanuman, the great devotee of Ram, said, see, Ram is saying in Valmiki Ramayana, I know that there is no difference between Sri Ram and Lakshmi Narayan forms of the Supreme Lord. But nevertheless, the form of Ram and Sita has absorbed my affection and love. Therefore, I want to see the Lord in the forms of Ram and Sita. Similarly, the Gaudiya Vaishnava loves the form of Radha and Krishna and Rukmini at Dwaraka. The word Bhaktanam Anurupatma Darshanam means the Lord is always pleased to favor the devotee in a particular form in which devotee wants to worship and render service to him. Like that he says. Now, is that clear? No. So he says that these forms like Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, Sita Ram, so Lord manifests eternally like this. And if a devotee desires one of these forms, he wants to see and worship, then the Lord appears like that. You see? And further, the devotee has to develop the bhavana for that. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to South India, he also went to the southern Mathura, we call it, called Madurai. There's a place called Madurai. Near Madurai, there is a Vaigai river. This Vaigai is also called as Kritamala. So, Mahaprabhu took bath there and then he came to Madurai. There he came across one Brahmana who was a great devotee of Lord Rama. So, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited his house, the Brahmana didn't seem to be cooking anything till about noon time. So Lord Chaitanya asked, now it is almost noon time, you have not cooked anything. How are you planning to serve lunch, prasadam for me? So the Brahmana said, right now we are in the jungle. You know, Lakshman has to go and fetch some roots and fruits and vegetables. And then Mother Sita is waiting now and she will cook and do the needful. Once the prasadam is ready, then I can serve. And seeing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became satisfied with his method of worship. Because what was this method of worship? It was in Raganuga Bhava. Spontaneous affection for Sita and Ram. You know, because the Brahmana was not joking. He was serious. He was very seriously telling. He said, we are in the jungle and Lakshman today is probably busy with something. He has to go and get all the roots and everything. So Mahaprabhu waited patiently. At about 3 o'clock or so, he prepared the prasad. Then Mahaprabhu ate his prasad. And he told the Brahmana, come down, you also sit and eat. But the Brahmana seemed to be very morose. And Mahaprabhu asked, what happened to you? He said, you know, as I have been hearing the pastimes of Sita and Ram, as soon as I came across the section, he said, when I came to know that Mother Sita was carried away by Ravana, I lost all my happiness. He said, my body is burning with great pain, but somehow my life is not leaving my body. He said, I cannot eat, I cannot sleep, I cannot do anything. I have lost my peace of mind. Mother Sita is the goddess of fortune. She is the mother of the whole universe. She is the wife of the Supreme Lord. She is the eternal consort. How can she be carried away by a demon like Ravana? How can Ravana touch her? So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard it, he pacified him. He said, you see, Mother Sita, her body is completely spiritual. You know, what to speak of a demon like Ravana carrying her, touching her? One cannot even see her in a spiritual form unless she reveals her form to anyone. One cannot even see her. Why do you imagine like this, and why do you unnecessarily suffer? Please eat some prasad. Because of the plea of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the evening he ate some prasad and thus he could maintain his life. And Mahaprabhu went ahead further. He went to Setubandha, he went to Rameshwaram and other places. So when Mahaprabhu was in Setubandha, a group of Brahmanas were discussing Ramayana. Mahaprabhu also sat. And as he was hearing, one of the Brahmanas was reading aloud from Kurma Purana that how when Ravana came to snatch and take Sita away, he said Sita entered into fire, like the Lakshman Rekha. When she crosses, she actually enters into fire. So Swaha accepts Sita. Swaha is the wife of Agni. So she accepts Sita and she transported Sita to the hands of Parvati. And then Parvati gave another form which appeared like Sita. That is another type of Maya Sita form. And that form came out and that was the one carried by Ravana. So when he heard this truth, Mahaprabhu became so jubilant. He immediately asked them, can I have this copy? The Brahmana said, this is the original copy. So very, very old, ancient leaf copy. So Mahaprabhu made them make a copy. In those days, there was no photocopying, Xerox machine. So Mahaprabhu got the Brahmanas to write down the whole Kurma Purana and left the copy with them and took the original manuscript with him. He again went back to Madurai and went and met that Brahmana and handed it over and showed him, just see what I told you, it's here. He showed the reference. The Brahmana became very satisfied, became very thrilled, he became very happy. He fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu and clasped his feet and said, my dear Lord, you are yourself Lord Ramachandra, who have come to reveal this great truth to me and save my life. So in this way, you will find there are many great bhaktas like Hanuman we read just now. He was a very great devotee of Ram who wants to see Lord Rama, Sita and Ram. So as their bhav matures more and more, Prabhupada says one can get the vision of the Lord only in trance. One place Prabhupada writes, only in devotional trance one can get the vision of Lord and his pastimes. Everything will become manifested and revealed in the heart of a devotee. So, as Hanuman aspired only for the darshan of Ram, so Sitaram, they gave him darshan. In this way, there are many devotees whose intelligence and minds are firmly riveted to the lotus feet of the Lord. And this is called Ananya Bhakti, unshakable faith. Like one may ask, How can you say somebody is worshipping Ram, it is Ananya Bhakti, somebody is worshipping Vishnu, it is Ananya Bhakti, somebody is worshipping Krishna, it is Ananya Bhakti? Actually, all these are Ananya Bhakti because these are different forms of the same Supreme Lord. So, again, another, in the 10th canto, one more reference about the form. So, he says here, the appearance of Krishna is the answer to all imaginative iconography of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What's the meaning of this? If somebody, like the Mayavadis, they think the bhaktas have to imagine some form and worship for some time in order to fix their intelligence. They think like that. But to put a full stop to all imaginative speculation, what Krishna does? He himself comes. I am here now. Stop all your speculation. I am here. I am God. He comes and shows. Yeah. And then he says further, Brahma Samhita is Vijnana as realized by Brahma's transcendental experience. And in that way, he presented the form and pastimes of Krishna in the transcendental abode. Yeah. And then he's saying here, the presentation of Krishna and Brahma Samhita is Vijnana, scientific. There is no doubt about it. Sri Krishna's form, Sri Krishna's flutes, Krishna's color, everything is reality. Therefore the demigods prayed, without you appearing as Krishna, as you are, neither Ajnana Bidha nor Vijnana would be realized. Which means, the demigods offer a prayer to Krishna in the womb. It's called as Garbhastuti. When Krishna was in the womb of Devaki, there is one beautiful verse they recite. They are saying, Na nama rupe guna janma karma bhir nirupitavye tavatasya sakshinaha manovachobhyam anumeya vartmano devakriyayam pratyantyatapihi. They are saying, na nama rupe guna janma karma bhir. Your nama rupe guna janma, all these things can never be understood by speculation. They are saying, mano vachobhyam anumeya vartmano, by imagining about it, nobody can ascertain. But then they are saying, if one does devakriyayam, devakriya means what? Devotional service. Devakriya, devotional service. If you do that, then in one's heart, everything becomes manifest. The Lord's form, first of all, the Lord's name, then the form, then his qualities, his characteristics, his nature, everything becomes manifest. Yeah, what is that? What becomes manifest is, one understands, I cannot see the spiritual form of Krishna, eye to eye, but he is so merciful that he has manifested himself as Archa Vigraha. Archa Vigraha can be touched. Archa Vigraha can be seen with our eyes. Just like he comes in the form of Prasadam. So, Krishna becomes tasteable. Krishna becomes seeable. Krishna becomes hearable in this world by manifesting himself in these forms, like the Archa form or the Prasadam form or the sound incarnation form as the holy name. He becomes perceivable by the mundane material senses of a conditioned soul. That is because of the causeless mercy of Krishna. He manifests himself. Of course, although he manifests himself, in order to benefit from Archa Vigraha form, one requires a spiritual master. Then spiritual master guides the devotee how to serve the Archa Vigraha with devotion. Gradually, by serving with proper Shraddha, one advances to a point where one can see, one comes to the Manomayam stage. What is Manomayam? Manomaya is not imagination that he writes. Actually, he writes, Manomaya means what? Even without seeing the Archa Vigraha, when you close your eyes, one can think of that form in the mind. Even before entering the temple hall. Even before the darshan opens. You see, the darshan is closed, the doors are closed. and then at a certain point of time the conch shell is blown and the door opens, then one can see the Lord. But even before Lord permits us to take his darshan, the advanced devotee can see the form of the Lord in his mind, the very same form of the Lord. That is actually called manomayam. That means one's anticipation to see the Lord increases when one's love increases. Then as the love increases, Lord manifests in the mind of the devotee. In fact, out of the Ashta Dhatus, one of the Dhatu explained is the mind also. Out of the 8 items in which the deity form is made. So that form is not some speculation with the mind or concoction with the mind. That form is actually the form of Krishna meditated by the devotee in the mind. So advanced devotees who have been faithfully serving the deities, they get the Lord's form in their mind. And as one continues to worship the Lord, then the Chinmaya form, which is the spiritual form of the Lord, becomes manifest for a devotee. Which means such a devotee sees Lord everywhere, and when he sees the deity form, what does he think? Pratimatuminai Sakshat Brajendra Nandan. Lord Chaitanya says, my dear Lord, you are not Murti. Who are you? Sakshat Prajendra Nandan. He says, you are Sakshat Prajendra Nandan. That is why in that story of Sakshi Gopal, that rich man's old man's son, when he heard from this Brahmana that Lord will come as Sakshi, he said, okay, let Lord come as Sakshi, no problem, he said. Because he was a faithless mudha. So he was an atheist. So he thought Lord cannot come. How can Lord speak or how can Lord come? Yeah. But that young Brahmana had great faith. So Lord not only spoke to him, Lord walked all through the way. And he manifested himself. So, for those devotees who have developed a very firm faith, the Lord manifests as Chinmaya Sharira. Chinmaya Sharira means completely spiritual body. So, Prabhupada says, such pure devotees, they see the smiling face of the Lord as transcendental. They can see that. As divine, as transcendental. They don't see it as some putla, some murti or something. They don't see like that. In fact, a conditioned soul, when he sees opposite sex, he becomes maddened by the so-called beauty of the opposite sex and considers that very valuable. Although it is simply a piece of flesh which is flapping for some time, as explained by Srila Prabhupada in the first canto. Isn't it? The form of a man, handsome form, or a form of a beautiful woman, what is this? It is simply a slab of flesh flapping only for a few moments, a few years. But a conditioned soul considers, like that he becomes mad in bewilderment. And when he looks at the deity form, he thinks, oh, it's a putala, he thinks. But opposite of that, a pure devotee, when he sees the deity form of Krishna smiling, he presents himself in front of the deity. So Lord is so merciful. He has come in this archa form. And he is allowing me to touch his feet. I can bathe him, I can dress him, I can feed him madhupak. I can offer him ornaments, I can offer him garland. That spiritual form of Krishna in the spiritual world, through this he is accepting. Accepting all this worship. He is so kind, so merciful. So, when he deals with the deity, he deals with him exactly the way that he would deal with personal form of Krishna. In Madhva Sampradaya, after one has served the deities for 25 years or 30 years, those bold sannyasis, there is a particular stage where they are allowed to embrace the Lord. Anybody cannot embrace. Of course, even if somebody embraces, they cannot have the feelings necessary to embrace Krishna. One may just do it like a ritual, that also. But very advanced devotees, they are allowed to embrace the feet of the Lord or embrace the Lord. So, one should actually serve the form of the deities by the order of the spiritual master Shruta Ikshita. And then through such service Lord will manifest in the heart of the devotee. So such a pure devotee who is seeing the deity form of the Lord with love, when he sees the display of illusory energy in this world, which is very attractive to the eyes and the attraction of the opposite sex, he can clearly see what is this beauty. This is all simply a conglomeration of 24 material elements manifesting with differences in material variety. Ultimately, there is a verse in first kind of Bhagavatam which says, అత కవిర్నామసు యావదర్థ స్యాద ప్రమత్తో వ్యవసాయ బుద్ధి సిద్ధేన్యతార్థే నయతేత తత్ర పరిశ్రమం తత్ర సమీక్షమాన. He says, although in this material world it appears to be a world of glittering variety, what is this variety? You know, like every toothpaste has a name, every lane has a name, every bus has a name, every model car has a name, every pen has a name, every person moving around in this world has a name. But although every one of these items in this material world has an individual name, they have zero variety, no variety, because all the so-called variety is nothing but a conglomeration of 24 material elements called matter. That's all. This matter is differently shaped and into different forms. Different forms and different names, simply to bewilder the conditioned soul and cheat him and to keep him forgetful of Krishna. So, advanced soul, advanced living and living being should see that this material world's variety is cheating variety. Actually, it's old wine in a new bottle. Because the same old eating, sleeping, mating, defending. One is doing in a cockroach's body, one is doing in a dog's body. Then you become a human being, again the same old thing. Because the bottle shape has changed now. Earlier it was a flat bottle, then a round bottle, then triangular bottle. And the bottles are changing. What is there inside? Same old wine only. Old wine in a new bottle. Just like if you go to a doctor, in those days, when we used to go to a doctor, there used to be a compounder sitting at the entrance. And he will be having almost a dozen different bottles. And all with different color syrups. You know, something will be green, yellow, blue, orange, different colors. So you go inside and the doctor writes a prescription. And the doctor also is a chalu fellow. What he will do? Last time he gave you yellow color syrup. So this time you will write blue syrup. Next time you will write orange syrup. So when you go there, you pick up that bottle and go. And you are thinking that maybe doctor is giving some new medicine to make me better. But actually what is it? Inside all the bottles, the same syrup is there. Only the colors are changed. This is called a show bottle. Because you show the bottle differently. So, in this way, all the display of this material world is what is it? Simply show bottle. It has no substance to it at all. So, actually he says, Atha Kavir. Kavi means learned personalities. Namasu Yavadartha, he says. Namasu means they say, these names and forms and the variety in the material world, it has no substance to it. Because it cannot satisfy the soul. All these varieties of names and forms. You try one object, you get frustrated, go to the second, third, fourth, fifth. Can never satisfy. We want more of the same thing and varieties of things and that never satisfy the heart. That's why he says, Syad apramatto vyavasaya buddhi. We have to, if you are advancing in spiritual life, we have to become apramatta, he says. Matta means mad. Pramatta means sufficiently mad. Unmatta means gone case. You know? Here he says, Syad apramatto, he says. And don't become mad like the other common living entities. Vyavasaya buddhi. Vyavasaya atmika buddhi. That you, so fix your attention on the Lord in your heart. Who is the Lord in the heart? Sometimes people say, meditate within. What is within? You put a hole or what in the heart? Meditating within. Somebody was asking Prabhupada, Swamiji, I heard that we have to meditate within. So, is that what Lord Krishna tells Arjuna? And Prabhupada said, why to meditate within? Prabhupada says, Krishna is standing next to Arjuna and saying, think of me. Don't look into your heart. Look at me only. Prabhupada is saying, he's standing next to Arjuna and telling, Manmana, meditate on me only. Krishna is saying. And that man said, but no, Swamiji, I heard that if Krishna is there in front of me, I will see him. But other times, I heard that you have to meditate within. And Prabhupada said, yes. Do you know what is that meaning of that? Dhyana avasthita tadgatena manasa pasyanti yam yogino. Yasyantam na vidusara asuragana devaya tasmai namaha. He said, yes, you have to meditate within. On whom? Devaya tasmai namaha. And that dev. Who is that dev? The dev is Lord Vasudev, Krishna. So then Prabhupada quoted that verse.
Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutastunvanti Divya Istavai Vedai Sangha Padakramo Panishadair Gayanti Yam Samagaha Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino Yasyantam Navidusura Suragana Deva Yatasmai Namo.
That Deva, Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying Lord Krishna. That Lord Krishna, who is worshipped by Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, Maruta, all the devatas, who are constantly with folded palms are worshipping him and offering him prayers. What kind of prayers? Vedai Sangha Padakrama Upanishadair Gayanti Yam Samaga. The Samaveda is very sweet to hear. They will sing actually, Samaveda. Ah, you heard this? Oh, so Samaveda, sweet prayers. So they are singing the glories of Krishna, he is saying, Samaga. And also the Upanishads also are glorifying the Lord. The Puranas, Upanishads, Vedas, Shruti, Smriti, everything is glorifying him. And such a personality is meditated within their hearts of the yogis, as Vishnumurti form. And then he says, Yasyantam na viduhu sura suragana. Even the demigods cannot understand him completely. But by his mercy, somebody can understand him to some extent. That personality should be meditated upon. If one wants to meditate within one's heart, it is not some speculation or concoction or anything like that. That form of Vishnu. So a yogi meditates on the lotus feet, then the calf, then the thighs, then the lotus navel, then the chest, bosom of the Lord with Kaustubha Mani. Then he meditates on the beautiful shoulder and the hands of the Lord. And then he is meditating on each of the spokes of the wheel of the Lord, the chakra. And he meditates on the shank and padma and everything, gada. Then he meditates finally on the smiling face, with a beautiful helmet, mukut, and kundal, makara kundal, isn't it? And the eyebrows, and the eyes, and the smiling face of the Lord. So that is all explained. You will find Narada explaining to Dhruva. You will also hear Kapila explaining to Devahuti. Same type of description. How to meditate on the Lord in your heart. And Prabhupada says in Kali Yuga, our attention span is very short. You know, even when somebody is speaking something to us, our mind goes off. Like sometimes you read the Bhagavatam, the speaker is reading the translation and purport, you know, and the mind is completely gone somewhere else. And after the purport is over, then a person begins to speak, that time people come back. And then you put a full stop and ask, okay, what did Prabhupada say in the purport? It's very difficult for many people to recollect because our mind switches off. Completely goes here, there, thinking of so many things. Yeah. That is why Gauranga Prabhu was telling once, you should never speak in a monotone, he said. And the monotone is like a lullaby for the conditioned soul. You know what is lullaby? Yeah. In a mother, sometimes she wants to make a child sleep. Like that, you'll be doing sound. And mother sings a song for putting the child to sleep. If you speak in a single tone, people gradually go to sleep. So in between you sing a, you know, shloka. Immediately we wonder, what's the new sound is coming? And they get up. So he said, that's why I recite some shlokas in between, he said. You know? Otherwise continuous lecture is like a lullaby, yeah? And goes to sleep. So our attention span is so small in Kali Yuga, you know, because mind is hyperactive. It's running here and there, various places. Runs very, very fastly. So if somebody closes his eyes to meditate on the Lord in the heart, that is the best way to go to sleep. Isn't it? And most guys who say that I am sitting in a yogic mudra and trying to meditate, they snore and sleep. That. It's impossible to meditate because we don't have attention at all. That's why Prabhupada writes, seeing the deity form of the Lord in the temple is equivalent to meditating on the Lord in the heart. There is no difference between the two. That is why when you come in front of the deity, we should open our eyes and see the lotus feet of Krishna and offer some prayers. Yeah. And see the beautifully the Lord, how is he decorated? Like we used to conduct a test. Okay, now you take darshan of the Lord and then come to the conference room there and ask, was Krishna wearing a mukut or was he wearing a turban today? Most people don't know. Are, just now you took darshan. Okay, was Krishna wearing a green color or was he wearing a pink color today? And you say, probably surely one out of the two. Now, which color he was wearing? Then he will make a guess and say green. And then he said, none of the two. It was a different color. Yeah. So, you know, what was Radharani wearing? Was she wearing a mukut? Was she wearing a dupatta above the head? So, you ask people, you know, was Gauranitai carrying kartal in his hands? Or was he carrying flowers? Or he was carrying nothing, just raising the hand? And sometimes people have not taken darshan properly. Actually, when we come in front of the deities, all the minute details of the deity form we see, and actually we should feel great joy, happiness, because Lord is a supreme hero. Srimati Radharani is a supreme heroine. And we feel great satisfaction to see them attractively dressed. Actually, those pujaris who can dress the deities very nicely, they are also benefiting all the visitors who come to take darshan of the deities. Just on the day, Ekadashi day, how beautifully they had dressed. You saw Ekadashi day, Nirjala Ekadashi day, evening, they were doing kirtan. My Lord, what kind of decoration and dress. And this way, the conditioned soul's heart should become attracted to the forms of Radha and Krishna. And actually Radha and Krishna are originally very beautiful. In the spiritual world, you know, they are the most beautiful. In fact, they are the apple of eye of everybody. But in the material world, if somebody can decorate the forms of the Lord to some extent, to some degree, similar to that, then immediately our hearts will have a uddipan. Uddipan is actually a kind of eagerness to love and serve the Lord. That kind of desire will come. So, because in Kali Yuga the attention span is very small, so Prabhupada says that Lord is coming as Archa and giving us darshan. Similarly, the holy name also. The holy names can be chanted in Upamsu, three different types. Like you can chant, for example, very loudly. Haridas Thakur chanted those, you know, 3 lakh rhymes. 1 lakh name, he would chant very loud. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Everybody can hear very loudly. And then another 1 lakh names, he would chant softly, called Japa. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the last 1 lakh names he will chant in Maun, complete silence, the mind only. So, some people ask, Prabhuji, can't we chant in the mind? Why to exert so much? Is it possible to chant in the mind? Yeah, even while chanting with the mouth only we go to sleep. Chanting with the mind is very difficult. That is why at least we can chant softly. Lips should be moving and Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, at least that much. So, the multiple forms of the Lord, different forms are mentioned in the scriptures. So one question was asked by Tamal Krishna Maharaj to Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, you say that all these forms are transcendental forms, divine forms, like Narsimha, Varaha, Matsya and all these things. So if somebody develops attraction for Matsya form or Narsimha form, and if they go back to spiritual world, will there be Matsya there or Varaha form there? So Prabhupada said, this Matsya, Varaha and all these forms, they manifest themselves in different universes in a cyclic way. Like in one universe they finish the pastime and they go to the next universe. Just like right now here it is 9:45. Now in some other place it is 9:44. In some other place it is 9:40. Isn't it? Time. Similarly, the Lord also, he moves from one universe to another universe. Right now there is Matsya Avatarila going on somewhere. Right now there is Narsimha is coming out of the pillar somewhere in some universe. Yeah. Right now, you know, Krishna is being carried to Gokul, you know, I'm carried from Mathura jail, to Vrindavan. So all these pastimes are happening in different universes. That is why when a speaker of Bhagavatam is reciting the large pastimes, it is not just a story. It is something happening at that moment. It's happening. The pastime is happening elsewhere. Like the sun's movement. Like the sun's movement or a clock's movement. Like that. But Prabhupada said, when you go to spiritual world, all the forms of the Lord in the spiritual world are human-like. Actually, we can say human-like because that's the experience we have. Actually, our human form is God-like. Not that God is human-like. Because God made man in his own image, it is said. So, in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, there is a verse which says, after making all the species of life, which were all dull, deaf and ignorant, Lord felt very sorry that they can't realize me. And then he created this species called human being, for whom he gave his own similar form, the form of a male or a female, like Lakshmi Narayan or Sita Ram or Radha Krishna. That kind of forms Lord gave them. So, that is a form eternally existent in the spiritual world, as Vishnu form or Radha Krishna or Sita Ram. So, whoever is a devotee of whichever form, they will develop attachment to that form. Then one chants the holy name. Because evam vrata svapriya nama kirtya. He uses the word svapriya nama kirtya. Yeah, devotee chants that holy name which is very dear to his heart. He says, how do we know which holy name is dear to our heart? There is Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. There is Ramakrishna Hari, Jai Jai Ramakrishna Hari. There is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Isn't it? Like we had gone to this Maheshwari community people. They had invited us for Harinam. They are very good people, Vaishnavas. So, once in a year, they used to invite us for Harinam Sankirtan. So, we went about 20 brahmacharis, 20-25. So, when we did Kirtan, they appreciated it so much. All of them came wearing, they also wear their tilaks. They came. First, we saw some young boys came and joined and danced with us. Then, after some distance, we saw very small children, like, you know, 10-12-year-old children. Some teenage boys, they came and joined. After that, in one place, little elderly men, like 40-45-year-old people, they came and joined and danced with us. After that, we saw even 60-65-year-old men. They also came and raised hand. But in all these places we saw, when we were singing Hare Krishna, you know, they requested, can we also sing? So we gave them the mic. So they started singing Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That is their favorite name in their family. So Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya is the Aishwarya Naam. Because of Lord Vasudev is called Lord Sri Krishna. And Vrindavan Krishna is called as Krishna. Only Krishna only. Is called as Krishna. Or Kana. Or is called as Kanu Balu. Or is called Kanai Balai. Kanuva Baluva. Has a different names is called. In Braj. It's called by different names. He is not addressed with Aishwarya. So there is no problem. There can be Aishwarya Vaishnavas, Aishwarya Bhaktas, there can be Madhurya Bhaktas. But I was telling that people have that attraction. They are connected to a parampara where they can, you know, chant a particular name which gradually becomes very affectionate to their hearts. And as they keep chanting and singing, which means actually we have to develop love for the name we are chanting. What is it? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Actually, how this holy name can become very affectionate to our heart, for that we have to know the qualities and characteristics of Krishna, qualities and characteristics of Srimati Radharani. Unless we know it, unless we develop a deep appreciation for these two personalities, our calling this holy name can never be with love. It's difficult. Of course, we have to learn it in parampara. Hear it in parampara. And then as the years progress, we keep chanting, at the same time understanding these two great personalities, the supreme personalities in the whole creation. So then we will understand when we are calling Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, we are calling these two personalities. We are calling them. And as soon as you call their name, their qualities, characteristics, pastimes will manifest in the heart of the devotee. Then the calling will be with love. It can be with love. And when one calls with love, then here he says, the Lord immediately manifests himself in the heart of the devotee. And one can rise above everything. Like you see, Kubja's devotion to Krishna was not pure. She was a lusty woman. She had a lusty attachment to Krishna, unlike the gopis. So, the gopis' heart was pure with love. So, Rupa Goswami Pad, he distinguishes Kubja's attraction to Krishna as kama praya, he says. Yeah, it is not pure, it's not pure love. But still, when she took Krishna's lotus feet and kept on her chest, immediately the burning lust in her heart became eradicated completely. She became purified. And similarly, our heart is lusty for all the materialistic accomplishments of this material world. But by following the Guru Parampara and accepting the chanting of this holy name and purifying our heart, one day the heart will become completely purified. And then Krishna will manifest himself as it is promised in this verse. See? Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja. Hrit saroja, he says. Lotus heart. Ase shrute kshita patho nanunatha pumsam. Yadyadhyata urgaya vibhavayanti. Tattat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. To show his causeless mercy, Krishna will manifest in that particular transcendental form that will completely please the heart of the devotee. And like Bhishma Pitama wanted to see Krishna in a certain way. And then Bhishma Pitama attained Vaikuntha. Because that was his aspiration actually. Sometimes it is difficult to know exactly, is one a Vaikuntha Bhakta or a Goloka Bhakta. There are sometimes slight thin line differences. Because like Bhishma Pitama was a devotee of Krishna. At the same time, he aspired to go to Vaikuntha. He wanted to serve the 400 form of the Lord. But whatever it is accepted that if it is according to the Shastra's approved forms, those forms can be worshipped by the devotee. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada gives such powerful explanation for this point on Lord manifesting to the devotee in a way the devotee wants him to manifest. So, the key word is Shruta Ikshita. The devotee should first hear. Now you may say, oh Prabhuji, first we hear and then meditate on the form. Then if Lord manifests in the form, what is so great about it? Actually, like you see, in a motor, sometimes they do priming. You know priming? Actually, if you put on the motor, sometimes sound is coming, but no water is coming. But if you put little water from the top, then this water goes and gets connected to the water below. Then immediately, like that, you'll find that water starts coming. In form and all, you have seen that. Similarly, Guru is a personality who can call the holy names purely. So he takes the mala and he chants Hare Krishna purely. And then that he puts into our heart through our ears. Then we chant Hare Krishna and we hear it. And when it goes into our heart, there is already existing devotion inside. When this little additional thing you put there, it comes gushing out. And it is like non-stop after that. It's like, once you start, it's like chain reaction. You can never stop it. Like Prabhupada's guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he just gave him that initial move by giving him instruction, Sadvachan. After that, you see, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left the world in 1936, went back to Godhead. And after that, you see, Srila Prabhupada, what all he did in the following years. That is why Shruta Ikshita, we have to hear the sound vibration chanted by the Guru. And by, it is both the holy name as well as the divine knowledge, Divya Jnan. These two both should be heard. Then our devotion, our heart will erupt in the time to come. Which means it's already there. Attraction to Krishna is already there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Koraya Udai. By Shravanadi means beginning with Shravan. Shravan, Kirtan, Smaran, Archan, Mandan, all those things. When we do this, then Koraya Udai, then it comes out. So, the attachment to the form of the Lord will eventually become revealed more and more as one progresses. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, thank you very much.